Thank you. Thank you. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. All right. We got the bag here. All right. How are you all doing? Y'all are very quiet this morning. Oh, we got Nerf guns. I kind of had a feeling that might be what showed up. Oh, and they're loaded. Holy moly. And cocked and ready to go. Holy smokes. That's a little too much power. I'm going to go ahead and discharge these real quick right in this bag here just so nothing bad happens. My goodness gracious. So what do you do with a Nerf gun?
It's like sometimes you have wars with
them. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, it's probably safer to shoot at targets, isn't it?
Nope.
Well, one of the things you do, you need other people, right? You need other people, right, when you're playing with Nerf guns? I'm going to bring this around. Y'all just give me time here. I will stop. No, they're loaded, and they're going to stay unready to fire. So when you have these and you're playing with other people, y'all are having fun together, right? And you're getting to play and you're getting to have a good time. And so these are toys that we use to spend time with other people, right? Yeah, I'm sure you do want that one. I want both of them. And so you use these and you get to play with other people and you get to have fun with other people. What are you doing? Here, sit down. You're making me want to start target practice. All right. So these help us to have fun with other people, and community is important, and Jesus loves you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for just all the different various toys that we have and the opportunities we have to play with each other. Lord, I thank you for all that you do for us each and every day, and we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I told Cadence that she could have the bag for next week, so I'm going to give her the bag. Oh, and you guys can go to children. Don't shoot those yet. Wait, okay, and y'all can go to children's church. How are you? We'll see. What it is about Nerf guns, but all those kids got real excited real fast. So thank you for that. Our scripture passage this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. This is another favorite scripture passage that was given to me some time back. I want to thank you all again for your patience with me. Obviously, I couldn't preach all of these passages right away, and so, of course, we've been taking our time with them, and so today we're going to be looking at another one of those. So hear now God's word from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. This is Paul speaking. We are experiencing all kinds of trouble, but we aren't crushed. We are confused, but we aren't depressed. We are harassed, but we aren't abandoned. We are knocked down, but we aren't knocked out. We always carry Jesus' death around in our bodies so that Jesus' life can also be seen in our bodies. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you again for this day, for your love and your grace, for the opportunity we have again to be in your house with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for the words, the reading of your word. We pray that the words you have given to me are yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we in the strength of the bodies you have given to us be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. As Christians, this morning, we carry within us the power of the universe. The power that created all that we have seen and all that we have known is within those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ dwells within us, when Jesus Christ is housed within our person, the Holy Spirit speaks to us and shares with us the will of our Heavenly Father. And so we don't just invite Christ into our hearts, but the Father and the Holy Spirit come as well. And we have within each and every one of us the power of the universe. Far too often, I think that we fail to recognize the power that is at our fingertips, the power that is readily available to us. The power, as Jesus says, to move mountains if we'll have the faith of just a mustard seed. This power isn't a power that enables us to do whatever we want, right? It's this power of God within us. It keeps us from being crushed. as Paul says. It keeps us from being depressed. It keeps us from being abandoned. And it keeps us from being knocked out. This power saves us, and it calls us to a life of holiness unto the Lord. When we carry Christ within us, the implication is that we find strength in the midst of weakness. The implication is that within each and every one of us who are weak, there is strength. And there is not just strength, but there is, again, the power of the entire universe within us. And I ask us this morning, do you carry within you today Jesus Christ? Do you share in Paul's victory over trouble and confusion, over harassments, and over being knocked down and knocked out? Do you carry that within you today? The fact of the matter is that all of us are like the clay pots Paul speaks of in verse 7. Just before this, he says in verse 7, we have this treasure in clay pots so that the awesome power belongs to God and doesn't come from us. Each and every one of us in here, like a clay pot, we are brittle. Some of us, most of us, all of us in some form or fashion are broken. We're common. Yes, we're all uniquely made by God, but we are all the same, given the same image of God to dwell within each and every one of us. And that is what he does. He dwells within us, those who have invited him to do so. He is the treasure that is housed within the clay pots, the treasure that is housed within each and every one of us who call upon the name of Christ. And those of us who bear God's image, this image cannot be realized within us until we make room for Christ, until we allow him to come in, until we let him dwell within us. Now, what do you typically do when you have company coming over to the house? You clean. It's the greatest lie ever told. We clean the house, right? We prepare the place. We make room. What we do is we throw things in one room and we close the door and say, sorry, we're working on this room. We're painting or something, right? We make room. We clean things up. We get things prepared. And the same is true when we invite Christ into our lives. We want to make room. But the problem is he comes in with stuff ready to clean because he knows that it's a mess. Now, for years, I thought to myself when we went to visit other people in their homes, for years, I thought, man, how do these people live so clean all the time? It's always so nice. And then there's always this huge day of cleaning when we're preparing for someone to come over. And I thought, how in the world? And it didn't dawn on me until a few weeks ago that they were probably messy too. That was a joke, and that's all right. You missed it, and I didn't tell it well, and that's okay. I'm going to work on that. It took me a while to realize that their house was just as messy as ours. They just cleaned it up. And now, Abby, anytime the Swans man is on his way, it's time to clean up the house. Why in the world are we cleaning the house up for the Swans man? He ain't coming in. We got to clean it. Got to at least clean the front part, right, Abby? Get everything out of the view of the window in the front door. Got to clean it. Living a lie. It's what we do. Where was I going with all this? Jesus is housed within us, and we make room, and he wants to clean us out, and he wants to help us to get everything set straight, right, within our lives. We bear God's image, but this cannot, again, be realized until we make room for Christ and allow him to move and work within us. It's the power of Christ, you see, that makes us beautiful. It's the power of Christ that makes us useful. Only when we recognize our brokenness will we gain the strength given to us by the living God. Only when we recognize our brokenness will we gain the strength given to us by the living God. Acknowledging our brokenness means that we put our trust in the treasure and not in the pot that holds the treasure. We put our trust in Christ and not ourselves. I don't know about you, but far too often I put way too much trust in myself and not enough trust in God. I don't know why. Every time I do it, I'm wrong. I look like a pretty stout guy, like I could probably take care of some things. Those of you that know me a little better know that that is not the truth. But I look like I can handle some stuff. But every time I try, all it does is emphasize my brokenness and show that I am lacking and that I am in need of a Savior who will take care of it and who will help me through, who will give me the strength. And it's in this strength that people will see the living Christ within us. It's in this strength of recognizing our brokenness, and I realize the paradox that's happening here. I realize the irony of all this, that in our brokenness we are made strong, and in our weaknesses God's strength comes shining through. And Paul goes on then to say in verse 10 that we carry Jesus' death around in our bodies so that Christ's life can also be seen. The allusion here is to our vulnerable confidence. Our vulnerable confidence in Christ. As humans, we are deeply flawed and we are deeply vulnerable. We're vulnerable to the elements that surround us, right? We all have housing to protect us, clothing. No doubt somebody will tell me it was really cold in the sanctuary, and 5 minutes later somebody will tell me it was really hot in the sanctuary. We have all of these things to protect us from the elements because we're vulnerable to them. We're vulnerable to societal norms. We are vulnerable to expectations. We are vulnerable to popular opinion, et cetera, et cetera. And the list goes on. And of course, we all know that we are flawed in our sin, that we all come up short because of our brokenness. But as Christ carriers, in the midst of our vulnerability, we can have utter confidence that Christ will and is working through us. We can know by faith what we need to do. Now, when I was ordained in the Methodist Church, I was told by the bishop and others to take thou authority. Take thou authority. To go and to be authoritative, I guess. I don't really know. And now, it's not telling me to come in and be a dictator and telling you all what has to be done or what needs to be done, even though sometimes I will do that. But it's that authority that's given to me in Christ in the call that he has placed upon my life. The authority to proclaim his word. The authority to administer the sacraments, the authority to ask you how it's doing, and maybe ask you again if I feel like all you said is, it's all right. That authority to probe maybe a little deeper. And I want to encourage all of us today to take thou authority. Take the authority that you have been given by God to fulfill the call that he has placed on your life. Where has he called you? Who is he calling you to be? Take authority in that and go and do it. Be that person that Christ is calling you to be. Carry Christ with you to the places he is sending you. And don't apologize for it. Take thou authority. Jesus is, of course, the perfect example of this vulnerable confidence we're speaking of. We got to remember this morning that Jesus had the same human limitations as the rest of us, but he refused to give in to them. He faced the same temptations we face, but instead of giving in, he said no. We carry Christ's death around in our bodies so that his life may be seen also. His death is represented for us here today on the table. His life is represented when we get up from this place and then go. Because it doesn't end here. Jesus' confidence in the Father, his confidence in the Holy Spirit propelled him beyond his frailty, beyond his limited human body. It propelled him beyond trouble, beyond confusion, beyond harassments, beyond being knocked down and knocked out. Now, Jesus didn't avoid these things, right? He didn't avoid confusion. He didn't avoid trouble. He didn't avoid harassments. He didn't avoid being knocked down or knocked out. But he faced them head on with vulnerable confidence, knowing that the Father and the Holy Spirit were going to continue to see him through. Thank God he did that. And we can have this same confidence today. The confidence to take up our crosses. The confidence to take up our troubles, our confusion, our harassments, and our being knocked down and knocked out. We have the opportunity to take those this morning, to recognize that they're there, and that they break us, and that we are powerless to defeat them on our own, and to follow Christ, knowing that he is going to see us through, knowing that he is going to enable us not to avoid them or sidestep them, but to just run right through them. I pray this morning that you will allow Christ's death and resurrection to be seen through you today. I pray that in the coming days and weeks that we will, with confidence, go out knowing that we have Christ within us and face these things head on, knowing that he has already defeated them, and now we get to go and participate in how he plays that out. If you've ever known the end of a story before it got there, it's always interesting to figure out how those events came to be. That's what we get to experience. We know the end of the story, but we get to see how those events unfold. And I pray that we will take that authority. I pray that in confidence we will move forward and that we might carry Christ everywhere we go. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for your love and for your grace, for all that you do for us. Lord, you indeed give us power. You give us confidence. You give us grace. May we take that confidence, that grace, that love, that salvation that is so freely given. May we claim it, may we use it, and may others come to know your love and grace through us. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.